and I'd head up there for to watch ships off. What be your name, boy?
Jim. Jim Hawkins.
Jim. What might you call me? You might call me Captain.
Yes, sir, Captain.
Bring me your rum. I see where you're at. There. You can tell me when I've worked through that.
Aye, Captain.
And indeed, bad as his clothes were and costly as he spoke, he had none of the appearance of a man who sailed before the mast, but seemed like a mate or skipper accustomed to be obeyed or to strike. He was a very silent man by custom. All day he hung round the cove or upon the cliffs with a brass telescope. All evening he sat in a corner of the parlour next the fire and drank rum and water very strong.
Jim! Jim, lad, fetch me a mug of rum.
Aye, Captain. Here you are.
Any seafaring men come by along the road today?
No, Captain.
Listen to me, boy. Here's a silver for a penny. I'll give you one on the first of every month if you'll keep a weathered eye open for a seafaring man with one leg.
One leg?
You let me know the moment he appears.
Often enough, when the first of the month came round and I applied to him for my wage, he would only blow through his nose at me and stare me down. But before the week was out, he was sure to think better of it, bring me my fourpenny piece, and repeat his orders.
Keep a weathered eye open for a seafaring man with one leg.
How that personage haunted my dreams, I need scarcely tell you. On stormy nights, when the wind shook the four corners of the house and the surf roared along the cove and up the cliffs, I would see him in a thousand forms and with a thousand diabolical expressions. Now the leg would be cut off at the knee, now at the hip. Now he was a monstrous kind of a creature who had never had but the one leg and that in the middle of his body. There were nights when he took a deal more rum and water than his head could carry. And then he would sometimes sit and sing his wicked old wild sea songs, minding nobody. But sometimes he would call for glasses round and force all the trembling company to listen to his stories or bear a chorus to his singing, joining in for dear life. For in these fits he was the most overriding companion ever known. He would slap his hand on the table for silence all round. He would fly up in a passion of anger at a question, or sometimes because none was put, and so he judged the company was not following his story. Nor would he allow anyone to leave the inn till he had drunk himself sleepy and reeled off to bed. His stories were what frightened people worst of all. Dreadful stories there were about hanging and walking the plank and storms at sea and the dry Tortugas and wild deeds and places on the Spanish Main. By his own account, he must have lived his life amongst some of the wickedest men that God ever allowed upon the sea. He was only once crossed, and that was towards the end, when my poor father was far gone in a decline that took him off. Dr. Livesey came late one afternoon to see the patient, and took a bit of dinner from my mother, and went into the parlour to smoke a pipe until his horse should come down from the hamlet.
15 men on the dead man's chest.
Jim, my lad. Now, you must make your father as comfortable as you possibly can. Your mother will need you to be strong these next few days, and you must do all you can to ease her burden.
Yes, Doctor.
Do not hesitate to send for me should the situation change. I want to know as soon as possible the extent
of the... Silence there between decks!
Were you addressing me, sir?
Blast your eyes, I was. I'll have no squalls while I'm singing.
I have only one thing to say to you, sir. That if you keep on drinking rum, the world will soon be quit of a very dirty scoundrel.
Hang ye!
If you do not put that knife this instant in your pocket, I promise upon my honour you shall hang at the next assizes. Now, sir, since I know there's such a fellow in my district, you may count I'll have an eye upon you day and night. I'm not only a doctor, I'm a magistrate. And if I catch a breath of complaint against you, if it's only for a piece of incivility like tonight's, I'll take effectual means to have you hunted down and routed out of this. Let that suffice.
Dr. Livesey, I have your horse, sir.
Thank you. Good day to you, Master Hawkins.
Good day, sir.